Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on, and see the reward of the wrong ones. Because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout his entire word. The difference is in that we now have a better sacrifice to take away our sins, which is Yeshua, who has taken all of our sins and punishment upon himself, so that we could have a fresh start clothed in his righteousness before Yahweh our Father. John chapter 1 tells us, Yeshua is our Creator's Word made flesh. Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we are told in Hebrews 13:8. Yeshua, Yahweh's Word made flesh, was able to heal his people 2,000 years ago, and Yeshua, his Word, is still able to heal his people today. If you have questions, please email us at hwh@hiswordheals.com. Today we're going to talk about pictures of Yeshua in the Old Testament, or First Writings as I like to call them. As Yeshua himself said in John 5:46-47, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Once Abba opens your eyes to see them, it is just amazing how many times the Old Testament alludes to our Messiah Yeshua and his first and second comings. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Just some of the incredible and unexpected places that Yeshua can be found in the writings of Moses, the Torah, or the first five books of the Bible. The first one I would like to share is the most recent one that my husband and I found this past Shabbat. It was really exciting to see this one, and we weren't even looking for it. Our Father laid upon my husband's heart to take a closer look at Moses' Ethiopian wife. Was she his second wife? Did he divorce his first wife, Zipporah? Because it didn't appear that she traveled with him in the wilderness, but only went to visit him once with her father Jethro. What's the deal? The Ethiopian woman is only mentioned one time, and that is when Miriam and Aaron were bad-mouthing Moses for marrying an Ethiopian woman. Numbers 12:1,
And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. My husband brought up some good questions. Was this his second wife? Was he divorced from Zipporah? Well, we started to look, so we went, of course, to the Encyclopedia Googlia to see what there was out there in the way of Jewish and Christian commentary on this Ethiopian woman that Moses had married. We came up with several possible scenarios. One was this Ethiopian being a second wife. Another was she was his first wife from when he possibly went south out of Egypt before going north. And that's the reason Zipporah didn't go with him. Another possibility we found was Zipporah actually being called an Ethiopian because she was dark-skinned and her tribe had possibly originated in Ethiopia before migrating north to Midian. Needless to say, none of these explanations really made much sense from a biblical standpoint to us. Too many of these explanations came from extra-biblical legends, probably made up to answer the very question Abba had laid upon my husband's heart. Seek and ye shall find, but not necessarily in the Encyclopedia Googlia. We actually need to look no further for the answer than his word itself, though it does help if we study history and the historic writings as well to understand the different terms, tribes, areas, etc. written of in the Bible. What really helped solve this mystery for us was the reminder that Zipporah and the Midianites were actually descendants of Abraham through his wife Keturah, which he married and fathered children with after Sarah died. They became the Midianites. Jethro, Zipporah's father, was a Midianite, hence a descendant of Abraham. So according to the biblical account, Zipporah was Moses' first wife, and she was the seed of Abraham. The Ethiopian woman, Moses' second wife, likely was among the mixed multitude that participated in the Passover and left Egypt, being baptized through the crossing of the Red Sea along with the Israelites. By all accounts, this mixed multitude had become part of Israel, having been reborn into the nation of Israel right along with the actual Israelite descendants on the other side of the Red Sea. Zipporah, Moses' first wife, an actual descendant of Abraham, and her sons by Moses, for whatever reason, apparently decided not to be sanctified through the wilderness travels with Moses and the Israelites. But the Ethiopian woman evidently did choose to go along as part of the mixed multitude when they left Egypt. Exodus 12:38, and the mixed multitude went up also with them. So what have we got here? This is the incredible conclusion we came up with in answer to my husband's nagging question. It satisfied the spirit within us more than any of the other commentaries that we found online. Okay, Moses being a picture of Yeshua's first coming to redeem his people from the slavery of sin led them through rebirth by baptism to become part of his chosen people, and he takes his first wife, Zipporah, a descendant of Abraham. Zipporah chooses not to follow Moses through the wilderness to the promised land, though some of her family, also descendants of Abraham, are seen in later scriptures as having crossed over into the promised land with the Israelites. Then Moses, again being a picture of Yeshua's first coming, subsequently takes a second wife, an Ethiopian woman, not a descendant of Abraham, but instead a part of the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with them. Is this why Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses for marrying her? Was she possibly not considered clean for Moses to marry? After all, Abraham set the stage that he didn't want Isaac to marry outside of his clan. Then Esau and later Judah were both chastised for marrying Canaanite women. Perhaps the Israelites also frowned upon mixing in marriage with the Egyptians when they were in Egypt. That would make sense. So then it would also stand to reason that Miriam and Aaron were chastising Moses for marrying a woman that would likely have been considered unclean or not marriage material because she wasn't a descendant of Abraham or his family. Now consider the parallel here with Yeshua's first coming. Yeshua came for the Israelites, or Jews, if you will, originally. The whole nation of Israel were considered spiritually married to Yahweh, hence Yeshua. The northern kingdom fell into paganism, and Yahweh gave them a writ of divorce, as Jeremiah explains in Jeremiah 3:8. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So all Israel at first, and then only Judah, the southern kingdom, were still considered to be the first wife of Yahweh, and of course Yeshua as Yahweh's word in the flesh. So in essence, Yeshua's first wife at the time of his first coming would have been the Jews, the majority of which ultimately decided not to follow him, yet they were descendants of Abraham. But what does Yeshua say about them being the descendants of Abraham? Does that give them a pass when it comes to his ultimate plan and kingdom, regardless of their choices and behavior? Regardless of whether or not they choose to follow him and believe him? What does Yeshua himself say? Matthew 3:9, "And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." And Luke 3:8, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." No, even though the Jews were his first wife, they still needed to choose to repent and follow him. Like Zipporah, Moses' first wife, the majority chose not to follow or stay with him. Instead, they stayed with their fathers and the traditions handed down to them, just as Zipporah stayed with her father. Did or does Yeshua have a second wife? A wife subsequent to the Jews that Moses' Ethiopian wife would be a picture of? She was not a descendant of Abraham, just as the Gentiles who chose to follow Yeshua were either not descendants of Abraham at all, or at the very least were no longer considered descendants of Abraham because they or we had so thoroughly mixed with the nations that they or we were no longer considered clean at all by the Jews. Gentiles were so unclean that Jews could not even eat with them or enter into their homes, let alone marry them. This is made clear to us when Peter has his vision, which leads him to understand that he is not to consider Gentiles unclean. Acts 10:28, "And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation? But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Isn't that what Miriam received leprosy for? What does the Torah say should happen to those that bear false witness against someone? Deuteronomy 19:18, "And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then ye shall do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you." Miriam became leprous as a result of her speaking against Moses' Ethiopian wife. If you are leprous, you are unclean. You had to go around covering your lip and declaring yourself unclean. That is how we know Miriam falsely accused the Ethiopian woman of being unclean, because Miriam's punishment was according to the Torah of Yahweh. She then became unclean. That is also how we can know that Yahweh's Torah, his laws and right rulings, are eternal. Miriam's punishment was meted out even before Deuteronomy 19:18 was written down by Moses. She received leprosy, became unclean because she was calling Moses' Ethiopian wife unclean. Yet she was not unclean because she had likely participated in the Passover redemption and was baptized along with the Israelites when passing through the Red Sea. She chose to follow the Elohim of Israel, just as the Gentile Cornelius chose to follow the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He accepted Peter's testimony of Yeshua and was baptized with water and the Holy Spirit. Cornelius became a part of Yeshua's or Yahweh's second wife, the previously Gentile or Ethiopian wife, when the first wife, the descendants of Abraham, chose not to follow him. Yet remember again, we do see some of Zipporah's family members living among the Israelites in the Promised Land. Zipporah was not divorced, and she and her descendants were welcome to join back up with Israel in the kingdom, and some of them did so. In summary, Moses' first wife, Zipporah, a descendant of Abraham, who did not follow Moses through the wilderness, was a picture of the Jews who would not follow Yeshua at his first coming, while Moses' second wife, the Ethiopian woman, who was grafted in Gentile, part of the mixed multitude coming out of Egypt, was a picture of the Gentiles whom Yeshua would redeem from among the mixed multitude of the nations and make his second wife. I've mentioned several times on this program that Moses is also a picture of Yeshua's first and second comings in that he came down from the mountain, hence down from the presence of Yahweh, two main times as a picture of Yeshua's first and second comings. The first time he came down with the first set of tablets, the tablets or word of Yahweh, were broken because of the sins of the people with the golden calf, just as Yeshua, the word of Yahweh made flesh, John 1, was broken at his first coming for the sins of the world. 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then, after breaking the first set of tablets, Moses headed back up the mountain to the presence of Yahweh to make intercession for the people, just as Yeshua ascended into heaven after his resurrection to sit at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. As Romans 8:34 tells us, "It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of Elohim, who also maketh intercession for us." Then Moses came down from the presence of Yahweh from the mountain the second time, with the second set of tablets, and his face was glowing or glorified, just as Yeshua will be glorified with a face that glows as the sun when he returns the second time. Revelation 1:16, "And in his right hand he held the seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was as the sun shining in its strength." The disciples also got a glimpse of the glorified face of Yeshua on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17:2. "And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Then, in another picture of Moses representing Yeshua's first coming, Yahweh, through Moses, redeemed the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt, led them to rebirth by baptism when crossing the Red Sea, where they were reborn on the other side as the nation of Israel. Then Moses led them as a shepherd with a shepherd's staff in his hand through a time of sanctification in the wilderness on their journey to the Promised Land. This, of course, is the perfect picture of Yahweh redeeming his people and the world from slavery to sin through Yeshua's first coming when he led us by example into baptism with water and the Ruach, or Holy Spirit, from which we are reborn into his chosen people, the nation of Israel. He came the first time as a shepherd to find and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel and all those that would be grafted in through faith. He has been shepherding his people for 2,000 years through a time of sanctification in the wilderness on our journey to his kingdom at the end of the age. Just as Moses didn't actually get to lead the nation of Israel into the Promised Land, Yeshua also did not lead us into his restored millennial kingdom at his first coming. No, Joshua, a picture of Yeshua's second coming, ultimately led the people into the Promised Land. Where Moses carried a shepherd's staff and shepherded the people, Joshua carried a spear or a sword in his hand when he led them against their enemies into the Promised Land. Likewise, Yeshua at his second coming will be coming not as a shepherd, but as a conquering king to defeat the enemies of Yahweh, hence our enemies as well. As if that weren't enough pictures of Yeshua's first and second comings in the so-called Old Testament, there are more. Whereas in the example I just showed you, Moses was a picture of Yeshua's first coming and Joshua a picture of his second coming, now I will show you one where Moses is a picture of Yeshua's second coming and Joseph was the picture of his first coming. Joseph was born a Hebrew, a direct descendant of Abraham through the promised line of Isaac and Jacob. He was sold to the Gentiles to be taken into slavery. Remember, slavery is a metaphoric picture of sin. He was sold by his brothers, after which Joseph became as a Gentile. He assimilated so well into Egyptian, Gentile, or pagan culture that he looked and talked and appeared to be an Egyptian or Gentile. His brothers no longer recognized him as one of them. They did not recognize he was their brother until the time of Joseph's choosing. Joseph chose not to reveal his true identity to them until they repented for what they had done. Think of the parallel. Yeshua was born a Jew, a descendant of Abraham through the line of King David. He was sold by his brothers, the Jews, for 30 pieces of silver and then turned over to the Gentiles to be crucified. Yeshua became sin, or, in other words, was sold into slavery, for us on the cross or stake where he died. About 300 years after his death, burial, and resurrection, he was so assimilated into paganism by a Gentile church that he became no longer recognizable as a Jewish Messiah by any of his brothers. He was given blonde hair, blue eyes, condoned eating swine and other unclean animals, celebrated his birthday on the sun god's birthday, the winter solstice, no longer set the seventh day apart, and even was credited with doing away with the Torah of Yahweh. He appeared pagan or Gentile in every way until a time of his choosing when he will reveal his true identity to his brothers once they repent, just as Joseph did. So Joseph and Yeshua were both born Hebrew. Both became to appear outwardly as pagan or Gentile until such time as both reveal their true identity to their brothers. Conversely, Moses picks up where Joseph left off. He, being a Hebrew at birth, was adopted by Gentiles just as Yeshua was about 300 years after his resurrection. Moses grew up as a Gentile or Egyptian for the first 40 years of his life, just as the church expanded around the globe as basically a Gentile church for the next 1700 years. When the time came, Moses' true identity as a Hebrew was revealed not only to his brothers but also the Gentiles when he interceded on behalf of his people. And then 40 years later, worked signs and wonders for all to see in order to free his people from bondage. In the same way, Yeshua, just prior to and at his second coming, he will reveal and is revealing his true identity as being Hebrew or Jewish to both the Gentile believers and many Jews, and he will work many signs and wonders to free his people at his second coming. These are just a few that we found, but I'm sure there are many more. However, we're all out of time for today. Now that we see these patterns which show that amazing pictures of our Savior's first and second comings are hiding in plain sight all over the Old Testament, we can hunt and surely find many more such pictures as we study His Word to show ourselves approved unto Yahweh. Happy hunting! Thank you for listening, and if you'd like to hear more, please visit our website at www.HisWordHeals.com, where you can download for free all of our past programs, as well as a free Healing Scriptures CD and a couple of books. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.
It is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving commitment in the morning and your trustworthiness each night, on 10 strings and with harp, to the sounding chords of the lyre. For you have made me rejoice with your work, O Yahweh. I shout for joy at the works of your hands, O Yahweh, How great are your works!